Enid Walker has come to speak to us tonight. Enid is such a dear friend of mine that I've gotten to know over the last few years. Started when I took the significant woman here that the church offers. She has been on staff with Crew. Now with the Significance Project, the Significant Woman is a part of that. Has a passion for her family and for women. And if you have met her or have a conversation with her, you are probably well aware that she loves women and her family in a wonderful way. She's got 5 kids that are all grown. The youngest is a high schooler, and all the others are in college or out of college. 2 of her girls are here on staff at Emmanuel. Her 2 sons are on staff with Crew, with Campus Ministries, and then she's got a high school daughter here. But she's going to talk to us about tonight about restful rhythms, just touching that theme point that we talked about last weekend introducing about embracing rest. So please welcome Enid.
Thank you. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking with my daughter, Arielle, who works here in the music office. And she asked me, well, Mom, you're going to be speaking at MOPS. What are you going to be speaking about? And I said, rest. And she said, you are not qualified. So I'm speaking to myself as well as speaking to you. I'm just coming off of a really busy season, and so consequently, I haven't had a lot of rest, and she is right. I am not qualified. But I love the title, Rhythms of Rest. I like rhythms. And the rhythm that I think about the most when I think about rest is the rhythm of the sound of the ocean. Can't you just put yourself in that moment where you hear the ocean coming in and going out and coming in and going out. And that's just where I just can relax the best, is when I'm laying there on the sand listening to the ocean come in and go out. It's one of my favorite places to be. But we also see rhythms in nature. We're in fall now, heading into winter, and so there's the rhythms. Things change, you know. In the summer, you're cutting the grass, and you're looking at it, and you think, how often do I need to cut this? And then all of a sudden, the leaves are falling. You know, the season has changed. The grass isn't growing anymore, and so there's that season of things slowing down in nature. They don't always slow down for us, but it slows down in nature. And then there's night and day. You know, the rhythms of night and day. There's the light, and then there's the darkness. And something should trigger in ourselves when the darkness comes that it's time to rest. But because of electric lights, that doesn't always happen anymore. And even as women, we have our cycle, you know, which brings different rhythms into our days. I no longer have a cycle. I'm so grateful about that. There's some other things that I have that I wish I didn't have. But, you know, I used to use that as a way to plan. Like, I knew the PMS days were not going to be days that I wanted to have stacked with things I needed to do. So are you guys like that too? Yeah, so if you can begin to get to know yourself and the natural rhythms, then you can maybe use that knowledge to help you manage yourself. So when I think of rhythms, I also think of rhythms in music. And, you know, music can kind of make you excited if it's, you know, loud and got a pretty fast rhythm. Or it can slow you down if it's soft and restful. So I think the trick for us, or I'm hoping that the trick for us, is that we kind of learn some of those rhythms about ourselves and that we take advantage of them and use them to help us manage ourselves well so we get the rest that we need. There's also a rest that comes after you've, you know, had a big accomplishment, you know, where you're just so excited about what has happened. And it's kind of a satisfaction rest, where you just, you know, take pride and joy in whatever that is, but you also can relax because it's all done. That adrenaline that kept you going as you were getting it done has now subsided, and so you can just relax in that it's complete and take some joy in that. Well, let me pray for us, and then we'll talk about the importance of physical rest, and we're going to look at ways that we can manage our lives so that we can get that rest that we want, and then we're going to talk about the rest that Jesus provides for us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for each woman that is here. Thank you for just your wisdom and knowledge that you have about each one of us. And I really like that you know what we need. And so we would be wise to come to you and ask you just to help us know that too, and that we would just learn from you. We pray that that's what happens tonight as we talk together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I have to stop and talk about the importance of physical rest. And I just Googled rest or sleep to see what I found. And this is what I found. Not enough sleep results in car accidents or work errors. I hate daylight savings time week when it changes in the fall, in the spring. I'm so exhausted for the whole week. And I don't want to be on the road because I know everybody else is exhausted too. And so that it's just true. When we don't have enough rest, we are more likely to have accidents in cars and work. When we don't have enough rest, there's also health issues that we struggle with. Depression becomes higher. High blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, strokes, those are all related or can be related to not enough rest. Our stress is higher. It's just, it could be the same things happening, and if we've had enough rest, we can handle them. And if we haven't had enough rest, when my children were little, one of my sons, his big issue was if he didn't get enough rest, he was a bear, and the rest of us were in trouble. Another son was if he didn't eat on time, he was a bear, and the rest of us were in trouble. And so as a mom, you know, you kind of learn those things about your kids, and then you make sure that they get what they need so that you can have a more peaceful environment. Okay, so another thing, good sleep promotes brain health, cognitive abilities. And the rhythm of sleep and wakefulness is necessary for biological functions in every organ in our bodies. Isn't that something to think about? You need, every organ needs the rest. It also is considered to be just as important as eating right and getting enough exercise. So sleep is a pretty important thing. I have a friend, and I've heard him say this several times. He says there are 24 hours in the day, 8 hours are for work, 8 hours are for living, and then 8 hours are for sleeping. And so he just, life works better for him when he operates on that. You know, gets those 8 hours of sleep, and he can enjoy 8 hours of living, and then he can spend 8 hours at work. Okay, so now that we've reviewed probably things that you already knew about the importance of rest, let's look at some ways to manage our lives in order to get the rest and the refreshment that we need. You heard that I was on staff with Crew, and I actually pursued going back on staff with Crew so that I could be a part of using the Significant Woman course. I'm a part of, she said, the Significant Project Team, Leadership Team. And so we have two resources. And one is called The Significant Woman. It's a life coaching discipleship course. And then the second one is also a life coaching course, but it's evangelistic. And so they're very similar. They have principles that are biblically based. In The Significant Woman, it's obvious and clear that they're biblically based. There's passages of scripture everywhere. In the other one, it's not obvious because Some women may come to Scripture and feel offended by it, even though it's true. It just is off-putting to her. And so there are scriptures in the book, but they're not labeled as such, because we think God's word is pretty powerful. Whether the truths in God's word are powerful, whether we know they come from God's word or not. And God's truth is just throughout every area of life, God's truth is there. And so these two resources are really helpful for women learning about themselves, learning how to manage what they learn about themselves, and helping them connect with the Lord. So some of what I'm going to talk through tonight or even use tonight comes from the Significant Woman resources. So on your tables, there's a little piece of paper that says, it should look like, let me see, I have a big one up here. It should look like this. You guys have this? And there are some boxes in it. So what we're gonna do is label those rooms in your heart house. And you can, it doesn't matter where you put them. It's, you know, you put them wherever you want to. So I'm going to read the description to you and allow you a moment to put to label those rooms, if I can get to the description. Here I am. Okay, so one of the rooms in your house, put the word belief. Belief. And they all start with B, so that'll help you remember them. So one room for belief, and that stands for your relationship with God. Time you spend with him. Anything you do that helps you grow in your relationship with him. So that could be reading a book or spending time reading God's word, or being in a Bible study, or anything you do that would help you to grow in your relationship with him. So the next room in your house, I want you to label it body. And this is your physical health. It's whatever you do to take care of your body. Exercise, you know, eating well, whatever you do that takes care of your body. Then the next one is beloved. And those are your beloved ones. Those would be your mother, your father, your siblings, your spouse, your children, your extended family. So they're your beloved. And then the next one would be best friends. So those would be your closest friends. They're the people that you process life with. You enjoy spending time with them, have fun together, learn together, grow together. And then the next one is budget. And that's the things concerning your finances or your time, resources, how you manage them. And then the last one is business. And so that's running your household, your job, outside of your home, any volunteer work that you do. That's your business. And then be renewed is the last one. And it's resting, relaxing, re-energizing. Whatever you do to re-energize, to rest, to be restored. Okay. So now what I'd like you to do is look at those rooms. And maybe think about one or two things you do in those areas of your life. Just take a second to think about those. Okay, so now we're going to talk about how you manage those areas. We've grown up with, the word balance, a balanced life, a balanced diet, So balance is kind of what we strive for. And when we look at a balanced life, you might think that if you look at your little heart or your little house, you might think that a balanced life means that you give the same amount of energy and all of your resources to every single one of those areas. Doesn't that sound like what you hear often in the world, that We're striving to live a balanced life. The only thing is, how hard is that? How hard? I mean, can you really give 100% to every area of your life all the time? No, it's a little bit tricky to do. So instead of a balanced life, we want to strive for a focused life. A focused life. And a focused life allows you to take account of the resources that you have, the time that you have, and the season that you're living in, and the needs of that season. You guys are moms of small children, and that looks very different than the life of a mom of teenagers. You know, I have a teenage child who I'm in the car an awful lot, taking her to, you know, this thing or that thing, or picking her up from this thing. I use more gas now than I did when she was a little girl. And as moms of preschoolers, you know, there's a lot of time put into preparing something for them to eat. You know, they need to be dressed. Zoe can pick out her own clothes. She can dress herself. You know, she can pick up behind herself. I haven't bathed her in I don't know how many years. You know, so it's really different, the things that you do as a mom of a preschooler and the mom of an older child or a mom of adult children. You know, I don't do anything for my adult children. Well, that's not true. That's not true. I do things for them too, but it's not the same. I don't pay their bills. I don't clean their houses. You know, I don't take care of their lawn. I don't have to take them anywhere or pick them up. You know, they come to me and then and they leave. And often when they're in the car, they're driving instead of me. You know, I get a moment of rest. But and so you kind of have to look at the season of life that you're in and think about the needs that that season calls for. And then that's how you focus. And so where you look at all the things that are on your little heart there, and they're all important, and you need to give time to each of them, but it's not going to be the same time to each thing in each season. It really is a myth that we could have it all the time. And so we have to focus on who we are and where we are in life and what are the things that need to be, what does that season call for that help me to accomplish what I'm hoping to accomplish. Let me read to you a story of a friend of mine. Actually, she's one of the writers of Significant Woman and Soaring. And she says, this is how she writes it. She says, and it's funny because knowing her personally, I know what she's talking about in these seasons of her life. She said, for many years, the priorities I set mainly reflected my life as a career woman and a good friend. And then some members of my family became ill with cancer, and suddenly my priorities focused on them for several years. Recently, some damage in my home and an unexpected health concern shifted my focus to my own personal needs. The concept of identifying where I need to focus in varying seasons of and circumstances of life has been invaluable to me. And so you go through seasons, and then you look and choose how you'll spend your time and your resources needed for that specific season. So I hope what this says is it gives you permission to do what you need to do for this season of life. You know, as women, we have we often have the same kinds of ambition as men, and we think we need to accomplish and go and do and do and do in a career kind of a setting. But we also want to have that picture of a wonderful home life with the kids. And then sometimes we get stressed and we try to accomplish both at the same time. And then you just really burn out and you don't get to enjoy. And the other thing is some women have the capacity. They have the energy to focus and do 1,000 things. And some women have the capacity and focus to do a few things really well. And neither one is better or right. They're both what's important for the individual. So the encouragement is for you to get to know yourself so that you can make wise decisions based on knowledge of who you are and knowledge of your relationship with the Lord, and then you can make the choices that are right for you. Does that make sense? There's no comparison. There's no need for looking over in each other's sandboxes and thinking that mine has to be like yours or yours has to be like mine. It really needs to be like it was created, like you were created for it to be. Okay, so let's see where I want to go there. I think we've looked at our box enough, but except to say that, I think Jesus has something to say about rest and how we manage those different areas of our lives. There's a verse in, I think it's Matthew 11, 28. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I love that passage because when you think of it, or when you look at it a little more closely, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And the passage was really talking about religion and rules and regulations and laws that man had set up that really were more of a burden than people could handle. And so Jesus is saying all those who are laboring under that imposition, come to me and I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. And a yoke is a farm instrument that you would put between two oxen or between two, what other animals would it go on? Maybe horses or something. Mules, and they would be work animals, and so they would share the work between the two animals, and they could accomplish more than if one animal was pulling the load. And so Jesus says, take my yoke. And can you imagine, Jesus putting on half of the yoke, and then I get in the other half of the yoke? And Jesus, he's the creator of the world, and has all power, and all knowledge, and all wisdom. And he loves me. If I am yoked up to him and move where he goes, who's the power behind that? It's not me, it's him. And I get to go along for the wonderful ride. And so that's what he's inviting us to do. His yoke is easy. And the yoke that he's talking about is what he's done for us. I love that he is what is necessary for me to have a relationship with God. Because Jesus died on the cross so that he could pay for my sins. I was separated from God, and there was nothing I could do to make myself acceptable to him. But Jesus did it, and he made it known to me so that I could trust him. And that's part of the yoke. That's how I get in the yoke with him. And that's how I walk with the Lord, and he leads me through the life that he wants me to live. So look again at your little heart and the areas of your life. And Jesus really does want to be involved in each of those areas. Let me just ask some questions for you to think as you consider managing your life in all of these areas. The first question is, does Christ live in your heart? Or is he still knocking and wanting you to invite him into your home? He doesn't barge in. He waits for your invitation. If he already lives in your home, does he have freedom to enter every room, to look in every closet and every drawer? Have you given him permission to sit with you in every room, or have you asked him to wait in the hallway? Or perhaps he has the freedom to be with you in the formal places of your home, but is he free to wander, to go anywhere he desires? Well, take a minute. If you have a pen or pencil, place a cross in the rooms where Christ has free access at any time he desires. And now the last question is, which rooms do you not allow him into and why? I don't know how much time I have or where I am. Where are you, Stephanie?
I'm back.
Okay. How much time do I have?
8:25.
Okay, good. Okay, it's right behind you. I can see it now. Okay, that's great. So what I'd like for you to do is talk to each other for a few minutes. Just about, the rooms in your heart, some things you thought about that you, as you thought a little bit earlier, you know, what are the activities in those different rooms that require your attention? And then what did you think about adding a cross? You know, was that difficult? What did you think about it? So just take a few minutes and share in twos or threes. Okay, let's come all back together. So if somebody would be willing to kind of share with us what they thought about those questions or in that experience of thinking about whether they would welcome Jesus into the rooms in their house. Anybody willing to share with us what they thought or what they learned as they went through that little exercise? Budget. That was an area that was difficult to let him in? Yeah. Okay. What do you think, maybe?
I think we all came from different spots, but I think, common denominator to everything, it just seems like women tend to need or want control of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And when we let go of those things or maybe hoard too much or, we have a difficult time reconciling them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we came up with.
Okay. So I would think maybe you could call that a little bit of fear, what compels us to control it is because we fear if we don't, what's going to happen. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Anybody else or any other groups want to share their consensus?
Along different categories, same thing, I think, we talked about beloved and in that... I said, for some reason, the hardest thing to trust God with is our children.
Yeah.
And I think it's fear.
Yeah, same reason. Yeah, so, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Control, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're the hardest thing to control because they've got their own will, don't they? Yeah. I mean, like, how early in your children's life did it take you to learn that they had their own will? Yeah. How about that? Yeah. And his love for us, is incredible, just like that our love for our children. Absolutely. Yeah, it can be difficult sometimes to let Jesus in those rooms, because we want to control them. We want to run them like we think they should be ran in order to get what we think we should get out of those rooms. Yeah. Were there any rooms that were really easy, the doors flung wide open, come on in, Jesus? Anybody have any of those rooms? Believe, yeah. Yeah, we kind of think he knows, he kind of has all the knowledge about that, don't we? Yes. Yeah, so belief can be one of those areas. So, but let's talk about why God can be trusted to be in those areas and help us manage them in a way that can provide the rest that that we need. Well, I think I always like to go to Genesis 1, usually when I talk, that's where I go. However, this time when I put it together, I didn't take us there. But he created us, and so he knows exactly what we are and everything about us. And so his knowledge makes him able to have authority over us and help us manage our lives in a way. And another verse that's a key verse for a significant woman is, for we are God's masterpiece created. It is God himself who made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus long ages ago. He planned that we should spend those lives helping others. And so we're his masterpiece because he created us. He made us what we are. You know, he made us with our personality. He gave us our eye color. He gave us our hair. He gave us, you know, our strengths. He gave us our weaknesses. He put passions in our hearts. And so he made us what we are. We're his masterpiece. And so that knowledge, you know, we really can tap into his knowledge about us so that we can live the lives that he created us to live. And I love it that long ages ago, before the beginning of the world, he thought about me individually. He thought about Enid, and he thought about what he would have me do. And so he created us for good works. In other versions of this scripture, it says good works. But he created us, he planned that we should spend our lives in helping others. And so he made us, he knows everything there is to know about us, and then he planned the good works. And I love the idea that he planned the good works, and he put things inside of me so that I accomplish and enjoy accomplishing the good works that he intends for me. He's the one who put the passions in me. So the good works are going to match what he created me to be. And so I'm going to enjoy those works. I'm going to be able to accomplish them. And I'm going to be able to accomplish them without spending all of who I am. I'll be able to rest. I'll be able to do that 24-hour thing where I take 8 hours to work and 8 hours to live and 8 hours to rest. Because it'll be in conjunction with him living his life through me. Does that make sense that we can trust Jesus that way? Because he knows us. So, but we don't just, that doesn't just happen without us putting in the work to get to know him and to learn about his yoke and to learn about the work that he's calling us to do. And so I'm grateful to the Lord that he satisfied that need by giving us God's word. Because God's word gives us the wisdom and the truth and the principles by which we need to live our lives. And I'm also grateful that he didn't leave us isolated, but he gave us each other. And I know that when you come together on Monday nights like this and you sit around the table and you talk about things that were shared from up here or things that are going on in your life, you give each other strength. You give each other hope and encouragement so that you can go back and do the good works that God has called you to do. And what a sweet thing that your good works right now, part of your good works right now, is taking care of those sweet children that God has given you. And so as you get to know yourself and how he has equipped you and you get to know the Lord, then that strengthens your ability to be the mom that you want to be. And so it makes sense that we invite Jesus in to all of those areas of our lives so that we can walk with the Lord, enjoy him, bring glory to him, and accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. You know, you're here because you want to be the moms that God has created you to be. You want to do it with confidence and to enjoy it. Isn't it sweet that he's given us this opportunity? So let me close in prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to Kim or Stephanie or so let me pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are and who you've made each one of us to be. Thank you for Jesus, that he's made it possible that we could be in relationship with you. And that establishing that relationship also enables us to enjoy the relationships with each other, our best friends, our beloved. It enables us to be about the business that you created us to be, and you have figured it out in such a way that we can be renewed and rested. And Father, that is the sweetest rest, the rest that we get to take in you, the knowledge that you've done what it takes for me to be in relationship with you, and the hope and promise of heaven and eternal life with you is a really sweet thought. So, Father, I pray for each one of these mothers, and thank you so much for the gift that you've given them, the children that you've placed in their home, and the influence that they get to have. Thank you for the husbands that they get to come alongside and encourage and support. And, Father, all of that is done best in your power, the power of your Holy Spirit, and in your strength. I pray that you would allow us to grow in our knowledge and ability to trust you, and that we would just enjoy the privilege we have of being your daughters. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all very much.